May the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today, we are in the vineyard. Have you ever been in a vineyard before? We have plenty of beautiful vineyards here on Long Island, right? But where I grew up back in Ohio, you can't grow grapes. You can grow corn and soybeans and lots of other wonderful things, but not grapes. So the first time I was in a vineyard was back in seminary when I lived in Northern California, not so far from California's wine country. And when I went there, I thought the vineyards were so beautiful. The rows after row of those carefully tended vines stretched all along their trellis, so fragile and so precious to the farmers who cared for them. The clusters of the fruit kind of sparkling in the sun like jewels. The green land all around, planted to bring nutrients to the soil and pollinators to the plants. It's no wonder that in our first reading today, God is singing a song to her beloved vineyard. But the beautiful vineyards of Northern California or of the Forks of Long Island are not the vineyards that we are in today. The vineyard we are in today is not a beautiful place. In Isaiah, the vineyard has been as carefully tended as any in the Napa Valley, and yet it's yielding wild grapes, a weed with a fruit too small and too sour to eat or to use in making wine. And in the gospel, in his parable, Jesus tells us of another vineyard. This one is producing fruit just fine, but the tenants are ruining it. They're ruining it with greed and violence and bloodshed, going so far as to kill the owner's beloved son to satisfy their greed. Greed, violence, bloodshed. It doesn't sound so different from the world we do live in. Sometimes the earth itself produces something sour that we didn't expect, an earthquake, a hurricane, a natural disaster that leaves destruction and heartache and fear in its wake. Sometimes us tenants have wrecked the vineyard with greed and violence and destruction. For the second time since I came to St. Stephen's, we have had the largest shooting in U.S. history. The vineyard belongs to God, but we, the tenants, we don't always steward it very well. We serve our own allegiances instead of the most vulnerable. We take more than we need. We think of our own interest or bank accounts instead of our delicate vineyard's care. As we put it last week in our sermon, even the best intentioned of us all have spots and wrinkles, right? And so the vineyard has produced wild grapes. Not the big, sweet, juicy ones that we expected, but fruits of violence and racism, misunderstanding, and death. Life in the vineyard can be tough. As we continue in our Reformation series today, Martin Luther might remind us of some good news as we sit in the midst of a vineyard, a world, a life that is so often not what we hoped for it to be. And Martin Luther might just do it in song. He might just do it in song. Our Reformation theme today is music. And when we talk about the Protestant Reformation, we don't always think about how it was also a revolution in music. Martin Luther was an avid music lover. He believed it was God's greatest gift to humanity behind only the Bible. He found hymns to be one of the most powerful vehicles for communicating the gospel, and so he was a prolific hymn writer. In his day, Martin Luther managed to put church music in a language and to a tune that the people could understand, so that not just cantors or priests got to sing, but the whole congregation got to join in song together. And this, of course, led to a highly increased focus on congregational singing and the denominations that follow in his tradition. If you grew up, say, in the Catholic Church or a different tradition, and then you came to Lutheranism and you were like, why the heck do these people sing all the time? Why do they always, yes, right? Kelly knows. why the heck we sing all the time. It's part of our tradition, and it's part of our heritage. It's said that Lutherans learn their theology through music, through singing. If the lyrics to some of our songs ever seem sort of lofty or complicated, it's because in our music we are learning theology. We are communicating our beliefs, and we're passing them on from one generation to the next. God's gift of song gets us through the tough times in the vineyard. Music can teach us. Music can teach us and remind us in the tough times of who we are and who God is. Music can inspire us to action and to justice. Music can give us hope and comfort and peace. There are so many examples of this in church history, so many examples of this in Christian song, and I think the best way to explore this is not to talk about it, but to sing about it. So look here, I just so happen to have for you guys today some song sheets. How about that? Where did these come from? Awesome. All right, we're gonna pass these around. Make sure you can see one. We're gonna do a little singing together. Make sure Cameron gets one. Pass these around. Take one and pass it back, Mr. Carlson. Artists. Right. Take one and pass it back. We'll make sure everyone gets one. My hat is there. Just make sure you can see one. Now, I want to start off with songs that teach. Songs that remind us of who we are and who God is. Many of Luther's songs might fit into this category. He was a professor and a teacher, and he cared passionately about educating children. So his songs often became a vehicle for his beliefs. Martin Luther's best known hymn, of course, sometimes called the anthem of the Reformation, is A Mighty Fortress. And this is a song that is meant to remind us amid the trials of life of who we are and who God is. A mighty fortress is our God. That's who God is. Even in the tough times in the vineyard, that is what God remains. And it's God that wins the victory, not us. Luther is always reminding us that it's not our works that save us. We are saved by the grace of God. And so he writes that it's God that breaks the cruel oppressor's rod. But what really stands out to me this tough week in the vineyard is verse 3. Yes, that's right, the hordes of devils verse, which can sound a little strange sometimes. But during a tough week in the vineyard, we might sing together, though hordes of devils fill the land, we tremble not, unmoved we stand. That's who we are. Because God is so good, so mighty, so strong, we need not fear. Let's sing verse 3 together. Up front, Carmine, Keith, come on up. And we're going to sing together a song that we sang back in August in church before VBS. Be bold. Stand on up, guys. We're going to sing it together with everyone. Stand on up, Carmine. We're going to sing it together with everyone. You can see the words there. And of course, we start, be bold, be strong. You might remember there are hand motions to this, guys, so I won't make you stand up, but do those motions if you can. All right, Tracy, take it away. Here we go.
choose an instrument to take back to your seat with you and play along for the rest of the service. Yeah, Keith, you can get that tambourine. That's pretty cool. Yeah, you know just how to use that one. Awesome. What do you got, Carmine? All right, all right. So play along for the rest of the service. Thanks for coming up, guys. And what our kids might not realize, what you might not realize, as we sing that song, we've just taught our kids to memorize scripture. From the book of Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There are also songs that inspire us, songs that are meant to provoke us to action, inspire us to pursue justice, work for the coming of God's kingdom into the world. One such example could be the Battle Hymn of the Republic, an old favorite I know of many of you. And I've mentioned before that this was originally an abolition song meant to inspire the Union troops during the Civil War. The lyrics originally read, "As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free." The song was to remind people of Jesus' sacrifice for us and encourage them to be willing to take that same risk for the freedom of their fellow man. Another such song of inspiration is We Shall Overcome, popularized, of course, in the Civil Rights era, though it's older than that. A song that encouraged those working for racial equality, that reminded them that this was not just some political issue, but that the well-being of all people is a matter of God's justice. And as we fight these difficult battles, that God is with us. Let's sing verses 1 and 6 of We Shall Overcome together. We will sing together, Jesus Christ has died, instead of speaking it. We'll sing it together again. We also have songs that are meant to give us comfort and hope, songs that remind us amid the tough times that God is with us. One of my all-time favorites in this category happens to be a Christmas song. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and so one time pass on singing Christmas music in church when it's not Christmas. Don't expect this to happen again. The words of the song, of course, come from a Henry Wadsworth Longfellow poem, written as he heard the church bells on Christmas morning after the death of his wife and the serious injury of his son in the Civil War. Despite the difficulty of life in the vineyard, despite the grief that he felt and the war all around, the music of the church bells brought him comfort as he remembered the presence of God. Let's sing some of the final verses of this song together.
On earth I said, for hate
good news today is that when life in the vineyard gets tough, when we need to sit and lament or cry and repent, God is with us. God is in the midst of us, in the midst of our music and our song, bringing us inspiration and teaching and hope. In all the tough times in the vineyard, we as the people of God, are meant to sing a song of praise, to encourage ourselves and one another, to remember that however bad the world seems, God is good. Let's stand together and join in singing our hymn of the day, giving thanks for God's gift of music.